He was such a blessing to young people, and so we wanted to follow Christ because we saw Christ in him.
They have been in ministry for over 50 years. They have fond memories of early blessings. Dean and Walter Albritton will share with us as we listen to Methodist Hour. Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and Mary John Wilkin, a heartwarming interview with Dean and Walter Albritton, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sing this praise song with us. Jesus above all names. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled With the Shepherd. It is written by Joe Harris of Tennessee. Joe writes, Jesus uses us to seek the sheep who are lost. The scripture reference is John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. James had all that the world could provide. He was successful in business, had a loving wife and children, and lived what some would call the ideal life. The only thing James would not do was attend church. At age 46, he was diagnosed with an aggressive form of lung cancer. Through James' months in the hospital, family members and friends visited him and talked about the wonderful relationship that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, offers. But James did not respond. One day, three men who ministered to patients in that hospital came to visit James. They sat with James, prayed for him, and left him some scripture verses. After several visits, James told them that he wanted to know more about the shepherd they follow. After several more visits, James prayed for salvation. James died 1 month later. James was my brother. Over the years, I and others in our family had tried to talk to him about Jesus. His lack of response led me to wonder if he would ever know Jesus. But the Good Shepherd is always working beyond our expectations to bring in those outside the flock. Each of us must keep bearing the message so that those who needed to hear it will have the opportunity to respond. Jesus uses us to seek the sheep that are lost. May we pray. Dear God, use each of us to bear your love so that those we encounter will want to know the Good Shepherd. In your name, amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time.
I have with me today on Methodist Hour a dear couple and dear friends of mine, Walter and Dean Albritton. Where do you hail from, all Britons?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Yes.
Yes, what's the
you
name of town?
Wetumpka. Wetumpka.
Wetumpka.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Walter and Dean, you have been in United Methodist Ministry across the years. How many years have you been serving Christ?
When I was ordained in March of 1951.
Wow.
That's been a long time.
It has. And you have served with great distinction, Walter. You've been on the Board of Evangelism of the United Methodist Church many years ago.
Yes.
What was your position there?
When I went on the staff of the General Board of Evangelism, it was to help develop the lay witness missions and to have responsibility for the development of small group ministries across our church. And it was a great time in our lives. We had a wonderful time. And really, God was developing the lay witness mission.
Yes.
And I was just kind of caught up in the flow of what the Spirit was doing across the church and
in
many denominations.
You made a tremendous contribution.
Well,
and one of the
you.
Greatest things that God has given us is that lay witness mission movement in which laymen go to a church and share their faith and people find Christ. Some of them have been church members for years, and they find a new experience with
Absolutely.
God. Yes.
And it is still going on.
Yes,
we have
is.
Missions in our own conference, and a fellow here at the Congress on Evangelism told me about missions that were going on in his state.
Yes.
And they're still going on, although God keeps finding new ways to reach people with the good news.
And that's good.
And then I was in a meeting in which your wife, Dean, here, was, Dean, you were the evangelist, weren't you, or the Bible teacher?
Bible teacher.
The Bible teacher. At the Blue Spring Christian Ashram.
Blue Lake. Yes.
Christian Ashram.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In southern Alabama, mm-hmm. and you did a tremendous job. That
Thank
was a
you.
Few years ago, but
it's
I remember
been a few
it.
Years.
And what a beautiful job you did in ministry. So Walter and Dean are wonderful, effective, fruitful ministers for Christ. So it's a real privilege to interview you.
Thank you.
Walter, let's go way back. How did you find Christ? Did you grow up in a Methodist church?
Have you ever heard of John Ed Matheson and Frazier?
Indeed. What a great pastor he is. Wow.
Well,
one of the greatest churches in the world. He pastors.
When I was a teenager, I came under the magnetic influence of John Ed's father, Brother Cy Matheson. He's 94 now and is still preaching somewhere every Sunday.
Yes.
But Brother Cy came to our church in Wetumpka, and I was soon just bowled over by Christ. He took the young people down to Florida for a summer week, and I thought I was going down to play with the girls and go swimming, and got down there and got converted.
Well, now, did you meet Dean there?
Well, Dean and I started school in the first grade together, so we've been together for so long.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dean, were you on that trip? Did you find Christ there?
Well, we went to the altar an awful lot and cried over sins I don't think we'd ever committed because we were just teenagers. But, you know, we were so moved by the Spirit.
Yes.
It was a wonderful place to feel the presence of God, and we did. We did a lot of crying, a lot of repenting, and a lot of asking God to help us, and He did. But we had a wonderful time in fellowship with a lot of young people. But that's the way Cy was, along with some other ministers in the conference. He was such a blessing to young people. And so we wanted to follow Christ because we saw Christ in him.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, yes.
We have to see Christ in our pastor, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, what was the setting? Were you in a youth camp? Or?
Yes, it was called Camp Glory. Near Perdita
Camp
Beach.
Glory, wow.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of glory.
And glory fell
there
because,
was glory there.
Yeah, we just had a wonderful time. And I can remember that week it was a full moon, so that helped a lot, you know, because we'd take long walks on the beach and had a wonderful time of sharing our faith and had some wonderful supervision from adults, some ministers like Cy and some other ministers also who helped us.
And
but Walter and I had a wonderful time growing up. We started being interested in each other, I guess when we were teenagers, but we were in school from the time we were in the first grade together.
Yes.
But, you know, even after 53 years of marriage, I would say this, we're still discovering a lot of things about each other that we didn't know. We're not the people we were back in those days.
Well, that's the way marriage right, is, and right. That's the way life is. We grow and we mature.
Right, and change.
And, and though we have differences and sometimes mm-hmm. couples argue, mm-hmm. that's one of the purposes of marriage, to grow.
Absolutely.
We grow as persons and right. we grow spiritually. Yeah. As
Walter has a wonderful way of saying, we've been married 53 years and we've had 35 good years.
No, no, more than that.
I said more than that.
42.
42. Well, it's going to who you're talking to. But we have grown a lot since we started out 53 years ago.
Well, I've been talking today with mm-hmm. Walter and Dean Albritton, and we've gotten into the marriage, the matter of their marriage and their experience together and how they found the Lord. And we appreciate your sharing. Mm-hmm. Now, let me invite you back and let's talk a little more about your lives. I'm sure you've got a lot of beautiful things to share.
Here I am, Lord. Can I hear you calling me? Or is it only wistful thinking on my part that you could use me? You would even choose me above so many who've been with you from the start. Well, here I am, Lord. Don't you know I'm listening? Just like Samuel, Lord, I'm listening with my heart. You don't have to seek me. I'll answer, Lord, speak to me. If you need me, here I am. Seek me, I'll answer, Lord, speak to me. If you need me, here I am.
That was Mary John Wilkin with her beautiful song, Here I Am, Lord. Dear friend, Methodist Hour invites you to receive spiritual inspiration by reading the Upper Room Devotional Guide each day. You can receive the Upper Room, containing 2 months of daily readings, mailed directly to your home. The devotionals are written by persons from all around the world. You will read the Bible, stimulating thoughts based upon real-life experiences, and suggested prayers. The Upper Room helps you stay in touch with the Lord on a daily basis. To receive the Upper Room devotionals, telephone 1-800-925-6847. That's 1-800-925-6847. We want your life to be enriched. Get your copy of the Upper Room devotional. And we invite you to write us at Methodist Hour. Our address, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. And once again, that telephone number for the Upper Room, 1-800-925-6847. Today's message is entitled, Digging Up the Dirt Again. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, and he said, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now let anyone who has ears listen. Amen. You know, I can remember so clearly hearing those words, Listen up, men. All right, boys, listen up. I can tell you it's been a long time since I heard those familiar words. Sergeant Angel, my drill sergeant in the Army, would often say that when we stopped on a long march or some kind of training environment, and he wanted us to hear something. Coach Friedman, my high school football coach, used to say it, All right, boys, listen up. He'd say that when we were getting ready to go on the field to play a game. You know, the more intense the game became, the more he used that expression. The thing I remember most about those words is that when they were spoken to make sure that we would listen. They meant something important was about to be said or demonstrated. The more I think about it, I don't think anyone ever explained to me exactly what they meant. I don't think Sergeant Angel or Coach Friedman ever said, you know, what these words meant, but somehow just hearing them, we knew what they meant. Whenever those words were spoken, everyone listened. In this lesson, Jesus uses the same kind of expression in two places. First, he says, Listen, a sower went out to sow. Then at the end of that very parable, he says, Let anyone with ears listen. Now, to those early readers, the words literally meant, Listen up, I am about to tell you something very important. And it means for us that Jesus wanted these early listeners to carefully hear the message that he was teaching. Now, please listen again as I read the words of Jesus for you. He said, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil, and they brought forth great amounts of grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Now, what I want you to remember is that these words were not written so that biblical scholars would have centuries to study and figure out what they meant. These words were spoken to an average group of persons like you and me. And those persons were trying their best to understand what it means to live out this message of hope in Jesus Christ. They were written to persons in different times and different culture than you and I live in. And because of that, you and I must pay close attention to understand what those original listeners were going through and what was at the center of the meaning of the words for them. The truth is, I think most any one of us could listen to that parable and write a lesson or a sermon about it today. But I want us to look at it. Jesus said, the sower, that would be God, or Jesus, went out to sow some seeds, that is, to tell the good news of the gospel. Some of those seeds fell on a hard path, and the birds came and ate it before it could grow. Some seeds fell on rocky soil, that is, no soil, a quick spurt of growth, and then they died. Some fell on thorns. They never even got to the ground, and those that did grow could not grow. But finally, some fell on good soil, and they grew and blossomed, and there was a great harvest. Those who heard that day lived close to the soil. They were earth people. Nearly everyone was involved in farming at some level. They knew what was happening when seeds fell in those conditions. They could see it. They could understand it. Jesus likened those who heard the good news to the soil. He said, some just didn't get it at all. Some had it for a while, and others did a little better, but at the end gave up. Well, there were some, like the disciples, who heard it and let the message change their lives. What if we were using our words today? I think we might use some of the words that I learned from Dr. Fred Craddock. The words are really your words or my words. Jesus might say, now listen, some who heard had a lot of doubt. Some who heard were too critical. Others simply rejected the whole idea. Even others were so disappointed in their experience they just walked away. And some said, yes, that's it, and lived a life accordingly. Now there's an obvious point here, and that is that if you want to hear the gospel to understand it, not for some intellectual exercise, but for a life-giving substance of the gospel, you need to be on good soil when it is sown. On the one hand, you could say that it means that one has to open his or her heart to hear the message, and if you don't like it, it's like sowing seed on rocky soil. And this part is the truth. But now you see, listen up. It says, if you want to grow the seeds of faith in your life, you need to dig in the right soil. It's almost impossible any other way. Now, let's look at that. The place to begin is to be part of the body of Christ that we call the church. Now, this does not mean that you cannot be a Christian if you don't belong to a church. It does not mean that you cannot worship if you don't belong to a church. It does not mean that if you die as a Christian and you don't belong to a church, you won't go to heaven. That's not the point. But you see, it does mean that being part of a fellowship of people who are trying together to understand how to live the gospel is the best kind of soil to strengthen your faith. In fact, it's a way to make sense of your faith. I remember Stephen. Stephen and I sat on a bench just outside the chaplain's office. Stephen is an inmate in a large prison. He still has 18 years to go on a 40-year sentence. He was 35 when he was convicted for selling drugs and fraud and forgery. Stephen was completing his postgraduate education when he got lost. He said, I went to church some when I was young, and my parents didn't go a lot, but I had some friends who did, and so I went from time to time. And those friends went away to college, and I got a job and started in high school, and I got my teaching degree in 7 years. Finally, Stephen said, I worked during the day, and I went to school at night, and I studied on the weekends, and I really didn't have anything or any time for anything else, especially for church. Then Stephen told me that he had made a couple of very bad financial decisions. Not gigantic, but they were big. They were just a matter of a few thousand dollars. He said he bought a car that was too expensive, and he had it repossessed, and finally, because of the losses, he was behind on everything. He reasoned that he worked so hard that he should not be in debt. And then one afternoon, by accident, he met a young man who was bragging on his new car. Stephen said, I was pretty excited about that. Stephen asked him how he could afford such a car. Well, it's an old story, he said. All I had to do was make some deliveries for this guy, and I made $1,000 a week. I didn't ask, but I knew it had to be drugs. Finally, I was pushing people for money. I took their possessions and even forged some signatures on stock certificates. Reverend Wolf, the frightening thing is that I would never have done any of those things when I first started. But little by little, it seemed to be okay. I mean, people are making billions of dollars, he said, and they're making billions of dollars in the drug business, and I was only getting $1,500 a week. And Stephen said this. He said, you know, I should have known that this was going to happen. My grandfather told me when I was a kid working on his farm. He said, Stevie, you can't expect to grow much when you dig in the wrong kind of dirt. 2 years of digging in the wrong kind of dirt, he said, got me 40 years in this prison. But then finally Stephen said to me, he said, Reverend Wolf, since I've been here, I've gotten to know Jesus Christ as a personal friend. I wish I'd kept trying to learn when I was young, but if it took this, it's still worth it. Amen. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him?
Thank you, John Wolf, for that message. Please give us your further word.
Brother Witt, thank you. I see that young man sitting there as a bright kid. He was actually an honor student in postgraduate school. But he got off on the wrong track, and he tried to find his way in surviving and things, but he just didn't have time for being a part of the body of Christ. And I know there's a lot of imperfections in the church, Whit, but but it's the best place I know for people to grow their faith and to have a place where there is accountability and friendships. Isn't that true?
Yes, John Wolfe. The secret of victory as a Christian is to know Jesus Christ. And one of the best ways to know Him is as a part of His family on earth, the Church. Through Bible study and worship, fellowship with other believers, we grow in our knowledge of Jesus. And, John, it's not just knowing about Him. It's knowing in an intimate fellowship of prayer and devotion. Our lives can be saved from the tragic mistakes of the young man you just told us about if we truly seek to know Jesus. He is God's gift to us, a Savior who transforms our values and our behaviors. Dear listener, get into the Church and begin to grow in faith and knowledge of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Our address is Methodist Hour, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. That address again, Methodist Hour, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Let us hear from you this week. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now, until next week, this is David Peterson speaking for John Wolfe and Whitney Doe and praying that the Lord will bless you and keep you.